Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome to this time of worship this evening. And welcome to this service when we want to spend some moments in prayer for those who we love and are part of our family circles and friendship circles and serve in the military. On this Sunday before Veterans Day, we wanted to take some moments to be in prayer and to surround our families with our encouragement and our love. Let us sing together. Gwen, would you come and lead us as we sing America the Beautiful?
Our hymn is on 696, America the Beautiful. Let's stand.
Invite you to pray with me. Righteous God, ruler of all the nations and peoples of the earth, send your promised kingdom of peace and justice to all the earth. Deliver your hurting world from the evils of oppression and tyranny, ignorance and religious bigotry, war and greed. Lord, hasten the day when the leaders of all nations of the earth will seek peace, and when men and women will no longer be called to war. In and through Jesus we pray. Amen. We welcome our men's ensemble to come and share with us this evening. We are always so grateful for the chance to hear them.
Treasures in heaven, O people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up your treasures in heaven.
Oh, people, lay up your treasures
in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forevermore, forevermore.
Well, the Lord looked out and saw the people there, tied up in worry and burdened with care. He said, seek first the kingdom and you will see
the things that will last for eternity. Come and lay up in heaven,
O people, lay up your treasures
in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up
your treasures
in heaven,
O people,
lay up
your treasures
in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forevermore,
forevermore. Some people trust in their silver and gold. They put their faith in the wealth they hold. But fortunes will rust and kingdoms fall.
So put your trust in the Lord above. Won't you lay up
your treasures
in heaven?
Oh, people,
lay up
your treasures
in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up in heaven, lay up in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forevermore,
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 from the second epistle of Timothy. Second Timothy, the second chapter. Verses 3 and 4. You therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When Michael told me about the service tonight, I struggled with trying to figure out exactly what he wanted me to do. And I really thought in the beginning that David was going to do most everything that was done tonight. And then he gave me an order of worship that had me to do a meditation. And all I can figure out of meditation is it's something short. So I'm going to try to do that. But this service tonight is to pray for and honor those who serve in the military. And I do hope that this isn't something we just do tonight, but it's something that we do on a regular basis. As one who has been there, I will tell you, you cannot do anything more important for your loved ones in the service than to pray for them. And I was so thankful when I went into the service, especially when I went to Korea, that I had behind me a group of people that I knew would be praying for me. I hope the people at the church would be praying for me. I knew my family would be praying for me. My mother and father, my wife would be praying for me every day. And my mother-in-law, who had, I don't know any other way to put it, but a special connection with God, would be praying for me. And I went knowing that I was supported by and surrounded in prayer. But I also remind you tonight, as we pray for those in service, we should never forget their loved ones who also need our prayers. It was a hot day in June of 1953 that we had what we called dinner then, in the middle of the day at my parents' home. And I left there shortly after dinner to take Winnedale and our little son over to her mother and father's house, and her brother was to take me to Birmingham to catch a plane as I headed out to Korea.
My father told me goodbye in the house. He did not even come out to the porch to see me off, to wave as I left. But as I drove away, I could hear him cry in the house. And he needed prayer just as much as I did. An hour or so later, as I left my wife and little baby son, we were both weeping. And she needed prayer as much as I did. So pray for the ones in service, but also remember to pray for their families. Now, very quickly, what should we pray for and what encouragement should we give those in service? If they're in harm's way, and it seems that everybody's in harm's way now, we must pray for their safety. We could not keep from doing this. Let them know that every day you're praying for them to be safe and well and receive the grace and strength that they need for that day. And remind them that they do not need to stand alone. There is no need for this at all. Pray for them that they will get involved with other Christians. Get involved in Bible study and worship and prayer and service. In my own experience, I thank God that wherever I went, in this country or overseas, the church was there. In Japan, in Korea, the church was there. And there was support there. And my fellow Christians in Korea were my greatest source of strength. It was in chapel in Korea that I first was asked to help serve communion. I guess it's the nearest I ever came to being a Baptist. My chaplain was Southern Baptist, and he told me, he said, "Jeff, I am not supposed to serve communion to everybody. Southern Baptists have a closed communion, but I know everybody needs communion, and I want you to help me." And so I became a deacon in the Baptist church that Sunday and helped pass out the communion. It was in Korea that I was first allowed to be in a choir. I was the only officer that showed up to a volunteer choir. The choir director was a PFC, and he could not order me away, but he he had a great deal of fun trying to correct some of the ignorance and inability that was mine. But I sang in the choir. And we had a special service one night, a company of Korean Service Corps people. These were men that were over 40 that were drafted into the service for manual labor and sometimes literally to be pack animals to carry loads of ammunition and supplies up mountain trails where no vehicle could go. A company of them were located close to us, and we invited them over on Sunday evening for a worship service. The chapel was filled with half GIs and half Koreans, and the chaplain asked me to lead the singing. What an experience. We had what we call a United Nations hymn book, and on one page was the words in English, and on the facing page, the words in Korean, and I led the singing with half the people singing in Korean and the other half singing in English. And I'll never forget one of the little Korean men that sang there and rocked back and forth with a radiance upon his face. We don't have to be alone. Tell your service people they don't have to be alone. There is support there for them. And you're praying for them, and you're praying that they will get involved with other Christians where they have the opportunity. Pray also that your loved ones will seize opportunities to grow in their faith. I was doubly blessed. I went into service as a second lieutenant. But in Korea, I was a motor officer, so I had a motor vehicle available for me at most any time I wanted it. And so I would make the best of the times that I could, and I got to know perhaps at least 50 different missionaries in and around Seoul, many different denominations. I got to know them and to worship them, worship with them, and be enriched by them. Your loved ones, pray for them to get involved with the people where they are, to know them and share their faith with them and share loving deeds with them. In Korea, I was able to help make desks for a Christian school. I was able to deliver gifts and packages that came from home for the people there. And I was able to share in meals with the local people. And not the most enjoyable thing I ever did, but one of the most meaningful things I ever did was to visit a hospital, Seventh-day Adventist Hospital, that had taken in abandoned GI babies. I was there one Sunday afternoon. I think it was 16 of them had had the measles all at one time. Children, infants to about 3 years of age, beautiful children. And just go and be touched with them and by them. Pray that your loved one will see the opportunities that are there, wherever they are. And remind them and remind yourself that we are all in service to the Lord. We're all in the service of our Lord. And we want to so live that our lives will show forth His praise. For all of us need to remember that each one of us is God's child, and we should act like it. The servants for our Lord as well as our country, our service should be a consecrated service. We're consecrated to the Lord, and whatever task we're engaged in, we should live out and demonstrate our Christian faith. There's no time that we as Christians here at home or in the service out yonder, no time when we're off duty. No off duty hours. Someone's watching. It's an old cliche, but you're the only Bible somebody ever reads and the best Christian somebody knows. And we're to have a consecrated faith, a consecrated service. Our service is also to be one of obedience. While the early training in the military is designed to make the person one who obeys instinctively and unquestioningly the one who is over him, even though he doesn't make any sense out of the command, he's to obey. We as Christians, our first Christian duty is obedience to God and acceptance of that which we cannot understand. And quite frankly, if we're honest with ourselves, there's a whole lot of God's commands that don't set too well with us, don't make too much sense. You know, when I read that I'm supposed to love my enemies, that just doesn't sound right. I just want to get even with them, don't you? When I read that I'm supposed to bless those who persecute you and pray for those who curse us, that doesn't make too much sense. But we have an unquestioned obedience to our commander. And as one in the military is conditioned to sacrifice, we as Christians must be ready to sacrifice ourselves, our desires, our fortunes for God and our fellow Christians. There is no limit to our commitment. No point where we say, that's too much. And finally, we're to be loyal to Jesus Christ through all the changes and all the chances of life as long as we have life. Things change. Life changes. Difficulties arise. Struggles come. But as little course has it, sometimes we've decided to follow Jesus and there's no turning back. Loyal as long as life lasts. So pray. Pray for those in service. I don't see how you can keep from it. Pray for their families, but always remember that all of us involved in the greatest service there is We are all to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, consecrated to His service, living in obedience to Him, ready for any sacrifice, and loyal to the end. Amen.
I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. I'll lead us in a pastor's prayer, and there'll be a moment there when you can name a name. A family member, a friend, a colleague, someone who we want to remember. And then we'll have the Lord's Prayer. And then following that, there'll be a time for individual prayer. Susan will play some music. You may pray where you are. If you'd like to come forward and gather around the chancel for a moment, you're welcome to come and kneel and pray there as well. So let's go to God in praying. God of all the peoples of the earth, we pray for those we love who have answered the call to serve you through service to their nation. Hear those we name and love and honor today. Lord, in your mercy, give to these good and brave hearts. May the evil that others do not penetrate their souls. Though they may be called to war, let them live for peace. Encourage them as they encourage one another. Defend them with your mercy. Keep them safe in body and soul and spirit. Guard them so that they may return to us whole people. Never let hard duty separate them from loyalty to your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to pray as you would like to now. Not too long ago, Judith and David Carney joined our congregation. I had the chance to discover a ministry that they share in their writing and working. They have a ministry of serving those who serve through the military. They've written books and honoring our veterans and their sacrifices. And David is the person in the Tennessee Valley who has led so many of our community efforts to recognize and gather around those as they are deployed and as they come home. David is in charge of the Veterans Day celebration in the county and is deeply involved in arranging for the recognitions that will happen this week. And, when I discovered about it, I said, well, we need to do that in our church on this weekend before Veterans Day. And David had talked about his work in recognizing families and encouraging them and honoring them through the presentation of Blue Star Service banners. And we want to do that tonight. And David, if you would come and share with us and guide us in this part of our time together. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Jeff. First, I'd like to know, thank you very much, I'd like to know who I'm talking to. Those of you who have served in the Army, would you please stand, remain standing? Army? One, two, three, four, keep standing. Marines? They're good people. We went to the Marine Corps ball last night, good people. Navy? Wow. Air Force? We're all going to stand up in minutes. What about, and just keep standing up, please, because this is important. What about family members of these people? Family members of anybody who has served? Do you have somebody that's serving now or has served? Would y'all stand, please?
Coast Guard.
Who said Coast Guard? Coast Guard. Thank you. Okay, now let's do one more. For those that you that love your country and those who do serve and did serve, would you please stand? Boy, that took work, didn't it? Congratulations to all of you who served. You have rendered any huge service to our nation. And I want to talk to you shortly. Please have a seat. Give yourself a hand. Well deserved. I'd like to talk to two groups tonight. Those who have served, and also to the families. Two separate messages. A couple of things, prefacing thoughts. Secretary of Veterans Affairs put out messages, three, 4 years ago, that on patriotic holidays, Veterans Day, 4th of July, Memorial Day, we as veterans should wear our medals. And the reason why is, if we're not proud of it, why should anybody else be? Second, we have an outright, absolute obligation to teach patriotism. If we don't, who's going to? The Veterans Day Parade this year, talk about it for just a moment, is going to be one of the most exciting ever. We're going to have, last year we had 5 bands in the parade. Last year, 6 bands. We're going to have 7 bands in the parade this year. Over 1,000 soldiers marching. 120 floats, Wells Fargo stage with 8 horses. And the Boy Scout troop is doing the Pooper Scooper detail. So it's going to be a huge parade. It's the time to come on down to Veterans Memorial Park and recognize and celebrate veterans. Celebrate what I think is bypass Christmas, one of the most wonderful days of the year. We have troops in over 200 countries around the world. Here in Alabama, our Alabama National Guard has deployed over 15,000 soldiers, second only to Texas and to California. We here in Alabama, we are patriotic and we do our part. I have good friends now in both Iraq and Afghanistan, and I pray for them every day. On the 11th day of the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, an armistice was signed to cease fighting in what was then called the War to End All Wars. Over 20 million people had died around the world. In 1938, Congress made the 11th day of November in each year a legal holiday, a day to be dedicated to the cause of world peace and to thereafter be celebrated and known as Armistice Day. 1938. After World War II, the day was renamed to Veterans Day, a celebration to honor America's veterans for their patriotism, love of country, and willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good. Of the 300 million people in our nation today, less than 1% have ever worn our uniform, 1% of our entire nation's population. That 1% is an incredibly small number, and they are, and you are, great Americans. And that goes for the families also. And you can applaud. This is okay. You can celebrate for the families also, okay? Is it okay, Michael? He said it's okay. Okay. So thank you, veterans, for your service to our nation. And because of you, we do have a nation, and we sleep in our own beds at night, knowing that you, that thousands others of our service members around the world keep watch 24/7. And think about it for just a minute. I'm amazed at it all the time when I walk out our door at home. Do you know what secures us from anything in the world? A glass door. That's amazing. Here in this nation, we can do that because of our service members, because of what they do for us. In 1951, Time magazine, to you, sir, named the American fighting man as the man of the year as the Korean War was being fought. 2 years later, but that's okay. The American fighting man, Time magazine said, could not win this struggle without millions of allies, and it was the duty of this government to find and mobilize those allies. But the allies would never be found unless the American fighting man first took his post and did his duty. In 2003, Time magazine named the American soldier as its person of the year for uncommon skills and service for the choices each one has made and the one still ahead for the challenge of defending not only our freedoms, but of those still stirring those nations half a world away. And everywhere you go, yes, the American soldier, Marine, sailor, and airman are respected. The entire world respects our leadership, and I've seen that around the world as places I've gone, traveling throughout Alabama. People always come up to me and say, thank you for serving. I have an uncle, aunt, brother, sister who served. Our servicemen are among the most greatest respected in the entire world. I would like to tell you a story about two friends of mine, a very emotionally charged story. Colonel Leo Thorsness, retired Air Force, and Lieutenant Commander Mike Christian. They were, or as Leo says it, he was, John McCain was in the same cell with them. Leo's, Colonel Thorsness has always asked, was John McCain in the same cell with you? And Leo always replies, no, he was there with me because John McCain came afterwards. Colonel Thorsness lives here in Madison County. He's a good friend. He and Mike Christian also were in Hanoi Hilton, 67 to 73. Now, I bring this up because I want to talk about families for just a minute and what that means. Mike Christian died in 1984. His family is good friends of mine also. Leo Thorsness, Colonel Thorsness, writes, and this was from something he had written to me in an email, says, I was in the cell with Mike Christian. Do you remember the story? Anybody remember the story about the person who made the flag while there were a POW in Vietnam? It was in Reader's Digest one time. John McCain talked about it when he was campaigning. He says, I was in the cell with Mike when he made that flag. Mike Christian sneaked into the cell what had been a white handkerchief that he found in the gutter that carried drain off water from by the bath tank, the slimy green handkerchief. Leo says, with effort and a bit of precious soap for many of us, he got it to a tattletale gray. And by this time, we were getting a little bit of medicine. This was during our last year there. Always blue. We never knew what it was, just medicine. So Mike Christian, grinding up a piece of red roof tile and a bit of water, gave a dull red color. So with a needle made from bamboo and a thread from the one thread barren blanket we each had, he sewed stars on it and used the blue and red for background and stripes. When finished that one morning, Mike Christian was a young, likable, happy-go-lucky guy, even in as a POW, after 5 years of it this time. One morning when he finished up, before the guards came around, he held it up, pretended it was in a breeze, and says, hey, gang, look up here. Leo writes and says, if you used a lot of imagination, it looked a little like our American flag. But to us grimy, old, pajama-clad POWs, it was the most beautiful flag we had seen in 6 years. I think each of us snapped a salute, stood up quickly, snapped a salute, and more than one had a tear on his cheek. A few days later, they routinely called the POWs out for a strip search and all that, and you had two pairs of pajamas, and my Christian stuffed this flag up in the arm of one of his pajamas, so it was found. They took him out and beat him, broke his bones, did everything, tortured him, put him in a cell just a short distance down, and they could hear him, his pains, and it went on for about 2 weeks, how badly they treated him. So and his voice was gone. The whole, but he was broken body. In a couple of weeks, he was up, got his voice back, and came back in the same cell with what was now, the last year, got better from during the last year, about 30 people in the cell. And you know what he started doing? He made another flag. That's an American. Let me tell you about each of their daughters. Leo's Colonel Thorsen's daughter. They're all friends, family friends, good people. When Leo went in, she was 11 years old, and he got out when she was 17. Leo says that he and his granddaughter never had the first conflict when she was a teenager. Well, no. However, she tells me that she would look on a globe, the office where she worked, she'd look on a globe, point right here to Hanoi, and said that I just couldn't understand. We knew where he was at. We wondered why we couldn't just go get them, go get Daddy. Mike Christian's daughter, one of his daughters, when they were getting onto the plane in Hanoi, they televised that live, 1973, spring of the year, if I remember right. And she was only 5 years old, as I recall, when Mike was shot down. And she was so worried, 11 years old now, she was so worried that she wouldn't recognize her own daddy. So Charlotte, her mama, tells me that when they showed him on TV, she jumped up and down on the sofa and said, I do remember him, Mama, I do remember him. The reason I tell you those two stories, they're very touching to me, is that families serve every bit as much. They might not always be children of POWs or the big emotion or whatever, but they do worry. They do worry about their loved one, and they wonder when they jump. And I've had many people tell me this, when the phone rings or when somebody's at the door that they don't know about, they serve every bit as much as their service member, father, brother, husband, who's serving around the world. And they need our support. In 1917, a person from Ohio, Captain Robert Quaisner, said, we need to do something to recognize families because they do serve every bit as much. So he put together a item, Blue Star Service Banner is what's known as today, a couple of different names. Congress later said, yes, this is a good thing to do, and they passed the standards by which it should be presented and to immediate family members of those serving National Guard, Guard, locally, abroad, in war, anywhere. But they set standards that a banner is legal, that's a congressional thing, to be presented to each family. Each family of a person serving should have one. American Legion has normally been the person, the group that's done it. It's the American Legion project. But many organizations around the nation started doing it. The organization I'm with started doing it Flag Day, June 14, 2004. If you fly, go out through Research Park, you see some of those big banners that say, we honor those who serve on flagpoles. My organization started that in 2004. And what we'd like to do tonight is I'll call the names one family at a time. And if y'all would come forward here, and Michael and Jeff would come here, we'd like to present the family members of each person serving with a Blue Star Service Banner. For those that have two or possibly three immediate family, brother, sister, father, son, grandfather, grandchild serving, you would receive a two-star or a three-star banner. And then I would encourage you to take it back home, hang it where it's can be very seen, and take pride that you have a family member serving. You yourself contribute every bit as much. And this has no great value. Don't bother to go to Starbucks with it. What it does mean is that we, the entire nation, and this church, thank you, sir, cares about you and cares about very much for you and your service. I'd like to ask the first person, Joe, and Gay Pittman, would you please come forward? Their son, John Pittman, is in the Air Force. And thank you, Gay and Joe. for your service. And daughter-in-law, then present her with instead a two-star service banner. A two-star service banner. You have two immediate family members serving. And give the first one back, yes. Mark and Janice Timmon. I see your brother. You got to help me here. Okay, John, okay. Erica Hochberger? I'm not always that good, okay? Thank you. Thank you, Erica. What a beautiful daughter. And Erica's husband, is that right, John, is in Air Force training for Afghanistan. Bless you. Your brother, okay. Wayne and Joanne Davis. Their grandson, David Shelby Lanier, is in the U.S. Navy on a nuclear submarine somewhere in the world, I imagine. Bob Tucker. His son, Andy. And I didn't catch where he's serving it, Bob. Very good. Thank you, sir. And I spoke earlier to Evans Marbury, whose son, Chris Marbury. And where is Chris serving it again? Fort Rucker, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Barbara Zander. Barbara's son, Nolan Zander. And where is Nolan serving at, Barbara? In Washington State. Would that be Fort Lewis? Thank you, ma'am. Roger and Eileen's son, Trevor King, is deploying to Iraq this month. Roger and Eileen King. Thank you, Eileen. Is he in the Regular Army National Guard Reserve? Thank you, ma'am. We pray for you and for Trevor. And Eileen also has a neighbor who's serving in Afghanistan now, Richard Smith. Thank you. Mike and Linda Kumke. We'll pray for them. Okay. Neil and Annette Nyman. Ricky and Lisa Bagwell. Tim Bagwell is in the Air Force. And where is Tim serving it, sir? San Antonio. Okay. Lackland. Dr. Bentley and Lucy. Their grandson, John, is in the Air Force. And where is he serving at, Dr. Bentley? In Hawaii. Hickam, that's right. Is Edward and Barbara Carroll here? And they're not here, okay. Edward and Barbara Carroll has a son and two grandsons serving. I mean, when you have that many of your family members, Wednesday morning, I'm going to present a four-star service banner to a lady who has all four children serving, two of them deployed and two here in the States. For a family member to have somebody serving is a huge burden on you emotionally, and at the same time, we want to show you we care about you and we have great pride in you and for what you yourself do. And thank you for allowing me to be here, sir. Thank you very much. I'll turn it back over to you. Oh, excuse me, I've got to ask. Is anybody else? Did we miss anybody else? Oh, please come up here and tell me your name. Chris? In the Army, National Guard, or Army? Chris? Plopper. And your name is? Jeannie. Thank you, ma'am, for your service. Thank you very much.
A closing hymn can be found in your hymnal on page 697. Let's stand, 697.